you. Thanks for passing the gavel. Well, I'd like to welcome all of you and give a special thanks to Eastern Oregon University and President Davies, who is here. Thank you very much for opening.
Well, thank you very much for coming to Eastern Oregon, the region as a whole, and also to our university. We're very proud to be part of the state system, very proud to be part of the public higher education process for Oregon. Eastern is a phenomenal university with 16 faculty centers.
We'll get to you here in a second. We're going to give you a good, we'll have you come up to the mic and give a good introduction. We also have members of the House and Senate Committees on Redistricting here, and we'll just go around. We'll start with the Senate. Just do a five-second introduction of yourselves, and we'll go House as well. Senator Starr?
I'm Bruce Starr. I'm the senator representing Western Washington County. I live in Hillsborough.
And I'm Senator Suzanne Bonamici, and I represent Senate District 17, which is in Eastern Washington County and Northwest Portland.
And Senator Chris Telfer representing District 27, which is Central Oregon.
And Senator Floyd Przonski, District 4, which are parts of Lane and Douglas counties.
Representative Escobal.
Representative Escobal, District 6, Medford, Oregon.
I'm Tobias Reed, representing District 27 in the House, which is Beaverton and parts of unincorporated Washington and Multnomah County.
And Representative Lindsay from Hillsborough and North Plains, House District 30.
Chris Garrett, State Representative from District 38, which is Lake Oswego and parts of Southwest Portland.
Representative Paul Holvey, Eugene, Lorraine, and Vanita, and a La Grande High alum.
Great. Well, we're being joined today via video conference by residents of Lakeview, Baker City, and Pendleton. And just for your information, for us in this room, the top left is Baker, bottom left is Pendleton, and bottom right is Lakeview. And for those in Baker City, I don't have a name. Could you wave and tell us your names? We have a volunteer in Baker City that's helping us today. Can we get your name?
Marilyn Dudek.
Thank you, Marilyn. Here to observe. Thank you kindly. And how many people have signed up to testify there in Baker?
Just one, I guess.
Just one, okay. Thank you kindly. We'll get back to you in a second. And then we have Ms. Saracen in Lakeview. Could you wave your hand and say, is Ms. Saracen there?
Yeah, hold on.
That's bottom right. There you are. Thank you kindly. Are we in your kitchen today? Ms. Saracen, how many people... Ms. Saracen, how many people are signed up to testify there?
Nobody's there yet.
Nobody, okay.
Nobody has.
Let us know when someone arrives. And then we have Ms. Tarvin in Pendleton. How many of you have signed up there, Ms. Tarvin?
Signed in yet.
Okay. Thank you kindly. Let me just briefly talk about the logistics of this meeting today. As you come in, we have handouts out there, and you've been provided with this handout that kind of gives an explanation of what redistricting is and some of the questions that we'll be asking of you. But let me just highlight some of the key elements of ORS 188.010. It says each district, as nearly as practical, shall be contiguous, being right next to each other, be of equal population, utilize existing geographic or political boundaries, and not divide communities of common interest, and be connected by transportation links. And the handouts that we have, that we've given to you, highlight some of those things that we'd like to hear from you on. And let's see here. The plan is to rotate through each of the cities and have about two or three people at a time. And why don't we begin right here in La Grande? We have two people that have signed up so far, but it looks like maybe we've had some additional people come in. And so why don't we call up Daniel Picorni? Yes, the president as well. That's right. Thank you. Thank you kindly. Mr. President, President Davies, would you come up as well? And I'm opening a public hearing on legislative and congressional redistricting. And we'll begin with the Eastern Oregon University, President Davies.
Well, first and foremost, I want to thank you again for coming out to Eastern Oregon as a region and also to our great university. EOU serves over 4,000 students throughout the entire state. 1,933 of them were on this campus until last night about 5 o'clock when finals ended, and now they're scattered throughout. But we also have 16 sites and centers throughout the entire state. So we truly are serving the entire state. We're very proud of our university and the population that we serve. We serve a very unique student who comes to us for specific reasons and that personal attention. We are looking at this redistricting as an opportunity for us to continue to grow and expand, and you have a lot of hard work ahead of you. So good luck with everything. I know it will be some interesting and some difficult decisions, but I know that you'll do it in the right manner. I would like to thank and introduce Dan Ficorni, our mayor. One of the things that we're very proud of is in all of the cities and communities that we serve, we have a very good relationship with the local government. And also in all three of the sites that you've mentioned, we have excellent relationships with their community colleges, their legislative unions, and also serve our students in those areas. For example, at Baker, we offer classes there where 147 students are taking courses in Baker and not coming here to LaGrande and serving them in that area. So again, just an example of the outreach of Eastern Oregon University. Thank you very much for coming, and if you have any questions, I'd be more than happy to them and let you get on with your work.
All right. Any questions?
Thank you very much.
Thank you kindly. And yeah, let's call up both the mayor. Thank you for being here, Mayor Ficorni. And we'll also call up John Hassinger to come up to sit next to the mayor, and we'll let the mayor go first. If you just introduce yourself for the record.
My name is Daniel Ficorni. I'm mayor of LaGrande, a employee of Boise Cascade who's currently laid off, but that's one of the reasons I'm here today. So it shows you where our economy is. We're still struggling. I appreciate you coming out to Eastern Oregon. I was just down in your building for the Mayor's Day and briefly saw some of you, met with our local representatives and appreciated that time and know the hard work that you have ahead of you. As usual out here, we are concerned that we're not heard, that we don't count a whole lot because we're on the eastern side of the state. We just hope that when you draw your boundaries that, you know, we obviously we will still have representation, but we just want to make sure that we're a part of this process. So on behalf of the city of LaGrande, welcome. And anything we can do for you, I hope your stay was and is fine. We made a little bit better weather for you, so
we appreciate. Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Actually, first of all, there was good news to hear that the mill is going to be reopening soon.
Right. So yeah. On a limited basis, but yes, it is. It is good news.
Great. So. First question I have is I've driven I-84 numerous times. How does I-84 bind Eastern Oregon together?
Oh, well, it's our link. And, of course, in the wintertime, it's somewhat of a tenuous link because it can be closed on either side of us, you know, Ladd Canyon to the east and Meacham Cabbage Hill to the west. But it's a very important link. And, I work for Boise Cascade, work in the particle board plant. Most of our product used to be shipped by rail. It used to be about 80-20 split between rail and truck. That has now almost completely flipped. We're 80% trucking now and 20% rail due to some decisions by the railroad not to do short hauls, things like that. So we've gone almost all to trucking. So that puts pressure on, you know, on our freeway system. And, of course, now with the price of fuel the way it is, it makes our product even more expensive in getting it to our people, because there's not a lot of where our product goes to end users, there's not a lot of those end users here. So that product has to go all over this nation and a lot of, in cases, even out of the nation. So.
Yeah, thanks kindly. Any other questions?
Yeah, Mr. Chair. The plant itself is just an MDF plant only, or is there plywood and Hedrig and
Plywood and stud mill in Elgin, which is 30 miles outside of La Grande. I work at a particle board plant, which is, just makes particle board, and then in La Grande, what is going to reopen on a limited basis is a regular sawmill. And that had been operating for years and years and years, and about a year and a half ago, they closed that facility. 110 jobs lost when that facility left. It was a big blow to the community. But now the market's coming back, and the company is seeing fit to on a limited basis, to do some test saws and test runs and see what's out there for the market.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I want to thank you, Mr. Mayor, for being here today and for coming over to the Capitol. I'm sorry I didn't get a chance to meet you when you were there, and I want to let you know and everyone testifying today that we are broadcasting as well in the Capitol today. So you're back in the Capitol this morning in a hearing room in the Capitol. So everyone who is interested in watching this hearing in the Capitol is able to sit there and watch as well. So you're back in the Capitol today and on the video, and thank you again for being here.
Okay. Representative Hovey.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do know that, Mr. Mayor, that the Grand Round Valley has quite a bit of agriculture base to it as well, and just curious about the connections of the agricultural community to the rest of the state. How do they get their product out of here? Which way does it go, and what other transportation? Do you use barges from here, or do you hook up with the ports at all?
We hook up with the ports. I know they're the county, and Mr. Hassinger might be able to, as a local farmer, he can probably speak more to this. But in a little town, now it's just a siting of Alisal, the county built a facility for grain. Is that right, Phil? Yeah. And so the more effective shipping of that, and there's a little rail spur line that goes out there, and that, so yeah, a lot of our products are shipped to the port of Boardman, Port of Morrow, I guess that's officially called, and shipped out that way. But I think mainly it's all truck, and we have a wide diversity here. I know there's beans and sugar beets and potatoes and wheat, barley, and just a wide variety of diversity here in this small valley, and it's amazing. I remember one of the stories. I moved here in 1973 from central Nebraska, and one of the things I had heard was this was a very unique place because this valley had never known a complete failure. That if one segment, if the timber industry was down, maybe the agriculture industry was up, and this valley had never known a complete failure. And in the years that I've lived here, I've seen that diversification, and we all seem to carry each other as we go along. And if agriculture has a tough year, maybe somebody else does as well. We had a lot of cattle and livestock here too, and so that is a very strong base for us, and we'll hope to never lose that base.
I have a quick question here. One of the requirements is that we cannot divide communities of interest. Can you tell us what, I know there's a whole bunch of little cities around here, from Enterprise to Elgin, et cetera. Are there some communities that are closely tied together that you can think of that should not be divided somehow?
I don't think we ought to invite any communities, but certainly within the Grand Ronde Valley, you have La Grande, we're the largest city, but you have Union Cove, Elgin, North Powder's technically not in the valley, but we kind of count them. They're on the way to Baker City. Embler, Somerville, these little communities, and they are fiercely independent of each other and of La Grande. It's the reason it's called the Grand Ronde Valley, not La Grande Valley. And Union County is those little school districts and those communities are fiercely independent, and they have a pride in that, and I think that's important. And so I don't, you know, I've heard, that I think maybe John Day is it split or something like, you know, one district is on one side of the road and one district on the other. And I realize when you draw lines, you know, sometimes those lines have to be made. But in Eastern Oregon, it could be real important for complete communities to be within one district and kept together.
Representative Reed and then Representative Garrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. For the most part, I think the question you asked just covered what I was going to ask. Mr. Mayor, I appreciate you being here. You might, I'm not sure of all the other people we'll hear from, but you might be the only representative of local government. So I was going to ask something very similar to our chair about the relationships amongst different local governments, whether it's cities or counties. You kind of covered that, but if there's anything else you wanted to say about how counties and cities relate to each other in your work, that would be helpful.
Well, and we do. We have a very good working, at least at LeGrand, city of LeGrand, we have a very good working relationship with our county commissioners in Union County. And we all have to band together out here. You know, if we're divided and try to do something on our own, you know, we don't have the power. We don't have the base. So we need to gather together. You know, not to say we don't have our differences in our little communities, but bottom line, we will all come together, and we do all come together, and I think that's one of the strengths that we have over here.
Thank you.
Senator Garrett?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. On the same theme, another related question, but maybe a little different. You know, in some parts of the state, people identify with their county more strongly, and in other parts of the state, less strongly. In this part of the state, do people identify really strongly with their county jurisdiction, more with their city or town? How would you describe how people feel about those local governments?
I don't know. You know, I mean, I would say that they identify with their small community. I mean, if you ask somebody out in Somerville and Imbler, you know, where there's 400 or 500 people living, you know, where they live, the first thing they're not going to say is Union County. You know, they're going to say, I live in Imbler or Somerville or Cove or you know, something like that. They're not going to say Union County. You know, they understand the need to be, you know, within Union County. And that would probably be the next thing they say. Well, if somebody said, well, where's Somerville or Union? You know, they would say, well, Eastern Oregon, Union County, you know, as a point of reference. But we all understand how important we all are to each other, and that whatever work the county can do in their work with you folks and the federal government, and whatever work we can and Eastern Oregon University, you know, that's what's important.
Senator Starr.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you for being here for your testimony. We've talked about I-84 kind of connecting communities. The question that I would have is, there are obviously distinct communities, towns along I-84. From your perspective, how far, say, west does a town like LeGrand have a common interest? Pendleton, you know, the Dalles, Hood River. I mean, that's going west, and then going east into Baker City in Ontario. Can you talk a little bit about how those connections may or may not make sense?
Well, to us, Eastern Oregon is Eastern Oregon. You know, a lot of people think Eastern Oregon is Bend, you know, and that's not. To us, that's Central Oregon, you know. But we're Eastern Oregon. So, you know, I think to the west, we would feel, you know, I always feel like when I drive to Portland or when I drive to the valley, once I get to the river, the Columbia River, that, you know, I'm kind of leaving Eastern Oregon.
Okay.
So I would say, you know, Hermiston, Boardman, you know, something like that. And then to the east, you know, we go all the way to the border. You know, a lot of people, when they do shopping, you know, we hope they stay in LeGrand and do shopping, but if they go outside of town, they go to Boise. They go to Tri-Cities, Washington, places like that. Close enough drive that you can do it, you know, comfortably. And we have, you know, and so east we go, you know, and north we go all the way to the Washington border because you have Enterprise and Joseph up what we call the branch, and eastern all the way to Ontario. You know, our school districts, our, you know, sports and things are all work with within that area. So I think that's my feel of that. West would be, you know, Hermiston, Boardman. East would be the Idaho border. North would be the Washington border. And south, I would say, you know, John Day, even, you know, clear on down there. You know, I mean, there's a lot. I work with a lot of people that hunt and fish, and they think nothing of going clear down to, you know, into Malheur and for hunting and different things like that. So, you know, it's we're one big happy family over here.
Thank you very much.
All right. Any other questions for the mayor? Thank you. We appreciate it. And Mr. Hassinger, am I saying that correctly?
Yes.
If you'd state your name and for the record and tell us your story.
Thank you. My name's John P. and I go by Phil. My friends call me Phil. I hope I can consider you my friends. Hassinger. And I'm a farmer here in the Grand Ronde Valley, and I've been doing that for a couple of three decades now. Got a couple of sons that are on the farm after having tried other professions, and they elected to come back. And so I have a vested interest besides my own experiences to be here today. Redistricting is an important challenge and task, and when I first snooped around on the internet to see what it was all about, quickly learned that you have a formidable job in front of you. And particularly when you get closer to the I-5 corridor, where you have a diversity of economic bases and that sort of thing. Over on the real east side, as the mayor alluded to, we have less diversity, and so it's a little more easy to find a commonality within our communities. But we have to accommodate the 400,000 plus people that showed up in Oregon, so I guess the task is mandated. I went online and looked at the legislature website, and from that wound up on a off Oregon site, and the site name was Public Mapping Project. I'm sure you're familiar with it. The first sentence in their statement was, "The drawing of electoral districts is among the least transparent processes in democratic governance." And that struck me. In that context, I appreciate you being here today as an outreach to our way east community. It's very important to us. And the second thought that I had in starting to look at redistricting was the makeup of the House at this point in time, and hopefully that will remove a lot of the potential problems that existed in the past. I noticed in the district that I'm in, the House District 57, that if you go to the statistics, we've lost, or we have about 6,000 or so people lower than the goal that's been established for Oregon. And as a farmer and a rural person, that's a little bit problematic in that there are less votes per square mile now. And as you consider the importance of agriculture to Oregon, second biggest part of the Oregon economy, and our reduction in voice, it's disconcerting to me. And so in the redistricting process, I hope we can preserve the political strength that affects this 2% of the Oregon economy. That's a challenge for you. Common interest is a term that I've really struggled with. I didn't find any definitions in any of the literature that I read. And so I don't quite know what that means, but I'll give you my perspective on it. First, on the east side, I can tell you that the economic base that glues us together is probably the largest factor in defining common interest. And again, as you move to the areas of the state where there's more economic diversity, that gets a little more fuzzy in determining what that is. But we're asked to bring together those communities which have a commonality, and that's kind of what I'd speak to today. In the east side of the state, we're natural resource based, and it's interesting. I made a trip back east to visit my nephew, who is a scallop fisherman. That's a resource, a natural resource base. And I'm a mint grower, wheat grower, alfalfa grower. I have different commodities, but I hadn't seen this fellow in quite a while, but we talked to each other. And as we did, we quickly learned that we were on the same page with regard to the things that we enjoy, the things that bother us, regulations, all those kinds of things that affect a business were common because we were in this resource industry, natural resource industry. And so it is true in where we are on the east side. We have agriculture, we'll lump farming and ranching into that, and we also have timber as I'd call it a brotherhood almost, a commonality that we can relate to each other with. We speak the same language. But within that community, we have some issues that are different. For example, I'm on the water committee for the Farm Bureau, so I'm intimate with that issue across the state. And even within the eastern counties, we have different sources of water, different use of water, different concerns with regard to water quality. And those kinds of issues require a commonality, at least in the representation that we have, to understand overall in the district that is formed what is required of the agricultural use of water. The other part of commonality I found in this community, this district, I guess you'd say, is that there's a secondary and tertiary relationship that has built because of the economic base of agriculture. And Bob Davies gave a talk today. In this community, we have tremendous support from the university. We have a program, Summer Ag Institute, that I've been involved with, that's an outreach from both the university and the farm community. In this region, we have a farmer merchant banquet once a year. The farmer merchant banquet is a statement by the community that you're important to us as people in agriculture, and you're the base of why we're here. So we want to keep that together as a commonality. It certainly has evolved to that. There's a challenge to those of you on the committee to dig into those particular aspects of our social structure that cause this commonality, and that's a tremendous task. I offer you all the help that I could have in doing that. It's easy on the east side. You ask questions about I-84. That's our lifeline. If there's a connection, it's an east-west connection right where we are. And as far as transportation of agricultural commodities, it's essential. Rail is essential. Barge system is essential. We, you know, as you know, haven't had a barge system in place for a couple, 3 months. Didn't realize how much that would affect me in terms of adjusting my schedule, my sales of commodities to get them where they needed to be before that 3 month arrest happened and so forth. So transportation, unbelievably important. There are differences, I would say. You know, if you take Baker City as an example, and I hope somebody from Baker City can validify this comment, that there's more of a commonality going north and west from Baker City than there is going east. Why is that? Because of the, in agriculture, as most of those are, timber, ranching, and farming, different style as you go east on 84. Most of our commodities go west in transporting them to market. I, again, appreciate your being here and making this process transparent. Means a lot to me personally. It's an important process, and I commend you for your efforts. And any questions, I'd be glad to take.
Thank you, Mr. Hassinger. It's refreshing to see someone that's educated themselves so much on redistricting. I think that's great. Representative Garrett.
Thank you. Appreciate you taking the time to come help us understand this part of the state. Can you tell me a little bit about how the larger cities in this corner of the state, how their communities interact with the outlying areas? In other words, does it make sense to keep the bigger towns, Pendleton, Hermiston, together? Does it make sense to break them up into different districts with their immediate surrounding areas? How would you describe that?
Tough question. Where we are, there's a natural geographical boundary. We have mountains on either side of this valley. So the mayor answered the question, I think, appropriately, and as we move across that mountain, we fall into another community. We do embrace, or I embrace, because of the need for medical and other issues, Pendleton. I get my farm equipment oftentimes from Pendleton, so it's I can include easily Pendleton into our district, if you want to say that. Once you pass that area, as the mayor said, I think we move into a different feeling of an area, and it's I would exclude that probably if I were moving that line somewhere.
Senator Przanski.
Thank you, Phil. Thank you for being here. You made a comment about hoping that Baker City people, individuals, would actually maybe verify your statement. I want to go a little bit further because you gave me the impression that when you get further east and maybe south and then look toward the, I guess it would be toward the Idaho border, you see differences even from there off of I-84, I'm assuming, going east as compared to being more west, or as 84 comes to the north. Could you maybe elaborate a little bit on that?
Sure. And I'm speaking mostly from my bias as a farmer. So there are businesses, obviously, that wouldn't feel that change. But as I leave Baker and head east, and I'm sure you've experienced this, you move into a different environment. It's a drier environment. And then once you get into the farmland that exists on the east side near the Snake River, you'll find different crop regimes, different use of water, different corridors for transportation and issues like that. So when I say that it's more common for the folks in Baker City or that area to relate to north and west, I'm speaking mostly of the commonality that we experience in what we do farming.
Thank you. Mm-hmm.
Any other questions?
And just one. So you've talked a little bit about Baker and Pendleton, and I have my own feelings about Baker and Pendleton when I used to live here. I'm kind of curious about which one do you think LaGrande identifies with most, if you were to pick between the two, not putting you on the hot spot.
Yes, you are. that's a tough question. There's so many good things about Baker City. I like to go over there, and we have the interpretive center, and it's more in terms of atmosphere, probably closer to what I'm used to. On the other hand, Pendleton's a great city, and I wouldn't want to get hate mail from either of those. I guess I'm not going to answer your question.
Neither do we.
Good political answer.
Senator Bonamici.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you so much for your testimony. You brought up that the House district you live in, currently 57, needs to pick up about 6,000 people, actually 6,133 people. Do you have any thoughts on which direction logically, given that there are some, as you said, natural boundaries, which direction should we go to try to find those extra 6,100 or so people?
Yeah, that's a great question. As I look at the present shape of District 57, it kind of looks like a dumbbell. Maybe that's a bad choice of terms. But if you look at it, there's two lobs on either side, a little corridor in the middle. I guess if I were the guy that pushes the line, I'd push it a little bit north and a little bit east. I think there's more of a commonality in those two directions than west. And I wasn't privy to how that little neck of land got in there in the middle, but it would have been an interesting discussion to figure out why that happened.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any other questions? Thank you, Mr. Hesse. Oh,
I do have a question. Thank you. And thanks for being here, Phil. Appreciate 8 o'clock on a Friday. It's quite a challenge. Well, you directed some comments to House District 57, but in your Senate district, it also needs to expand. But I'm hearing that you have a connection with Pendleton and Baker City. So, again, where would you see the common community of common interest expanding to? The Pendleton direction more, Baker City, or where?
Yeah, thank you. The Senate district is more rectangular in shape, so it's less difficult for me to figure out how that happened. But the challenge is that if you expand that district 29 to the west, then you infringe on the commonality it might incur in Milton, Freewater, and Hermit. That's a tough question. And so you're asking me what's more important, that communal feeling or the one that would exist if we embraced or absorbed Pendleton. Frankly, I think that they would probably be more apt to be in a common economic base and communal base, sociological base, and so forth, than if we moved over and absorbed Pendleton, for example. So, tough question, tough problem.
All right. Thank you. Thank you kindly, Phil, for being here. Yeah, that's right. Yeah, so with that said, let's move on to Baker then, get their insight here. And it looks like we've had a handful of more people show up in Baker. And why don't we have the three of you go in order of arrival, if you'd introduce yourselves and give us your story. Thank you.
Hey, my name is Fred Warner, and I'm the chairman of the Baker County Board of Commissioners. I would like to thank the committee for coming today out to Eastern Oregon. I was in Salem on Monday and Tuesday, and last week on Tuesday, and I like driving down to the community college rather than to Salem, so thank you very much. I can never remember the numbers, but I think we're 59. I know we're the biggest representative district, and then Senator Farioli has the biggest Senate district, and I guess they're destined to either get bigger or have a really big change. I'll talk a little bit about the perspective from my 9 years as a county commissioner. In Eastern Oregon, we do have great partnerships. I've listened to your questions about how we should do this, and it's a really tough thing to do. Baker and Union County, we have a great relationship. We just took over the ski resort here in that sits on the Baker Grant and Union County lines. Baker County's kind of taken the lead on that, but without the Union County folks, I mean, it's a community deal. So we do an awful lot of things with Union County, LeGrand, and the small cities. NEAC, which is Northeast Area Commission on Transportation, I chair that committee the last couple of years, and I think it stands as an example of collaboration, and that is between Union, Wallowa, Maui, Umatilla, Baker, and Morrow County. So we're kind of the right in Northeast Oregon. SEAC, which is Malheur, Harney, and Grant counties, are kind of our sister-brother organization in Region 5 here, and we've worked through Connect Oregon 1, 2, and 3, done a lot of collaborating there. We have the Northeast Oregon Economic Development District, which is Baker, Wallowa, and Union counties. We do an awful lot economically with those three counties. Here in Baker County, the small cities identify with themselves, but I think there is a strong sense of being in Baker County, and I would hope that as much as possible we can stay along county lines. In our representative district here today, we have a little piece of Grant County. We have Malheur, Baker, and Harney County. Huge land base. Representative Bentz, I'm pretty sure, doesn't want to expand another 100 square miles. But
we'll hear from him today. Hopefully,
I'm not. or Senator Farioli, because I mean, this district, unfortunately, we still got more cows than people, and it's probably not going to change for a while. Some of the challenges that we face in Baker County that I think are common throughout at least all of Eastern Oregon, and particularly Northeast Oregon, is excessive regulation, or just, I mean, regulation coming down from every avenue, and it's stifling economic development. It kills jobs. I've spent the last year working on the mercury issue out at Ash Grove. They've taken 93% of the mercury out, and the EPA is still threatening to shut them down. And we've worked with everybody, and we just need to bring some common sense back into you know, local government, state government, and federal government. Baker County and most of the counties that you're talking about have a very high rate of federal land ownership. 52% of Baker County is owned by federal government, and I know that is true of Union County, Malheur, Harney. Umatilla County, I don't think, is quiet. They have a little bit more private ground. Our economy, we've been in the doldrums just like everybody else. We haven't had the highs, so I don't think we had the lows. Our major employers are still in business. Those that weathered the timber wars of the 90s. Baker County used to have 7 sawmills, and we haven't had a sawmill for 15 years. Yet we sit in the middle of the biggest national forest in the United States. So that's the changes. We've adapted. Agriculture is our number one. We have in Baker County a great mining history, and I think we have a lot of minerals out there. It's just virtually impossible to mine them on public ground these days, trying to get permitted, and I think even the miners believe in reasonable regulations, but it's a challenge. So if I was going to give you some advice, if you're going to keep Baker in in 59 where we are today, it makes a lot of sense to add all of Grant County to this district, and these are my opinions, and I haven't talked to the Grant County people about this, and I don't know how they feel. As I look at the numbers, We don't do a lot with Lake County, but I think we have a lot in common with Lake County. It wouldn't be, other than the travel time for the elected officials, it could potentially work. Of course, if you're going to do a lot of changing, I believe Union County and Baker County have a lot of commonality. Our ag base is a lot the same. We do an awful lot already within Union County. So I guess I would like to keep it on county lines as much as possible and really try not to split up the cities. There are some geographical differences maybe within counties, but it's imperceptible compared to our commonality. So I would take any questions that anybody had.
Thank you, Mr. Warner, for being here today. And Representative Benz is a good guy, and he does a lot of traveling to represent your part of the state. He's a great person. Any questions for Mr. Warner?
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Esquivel, Representative Esquivel.
Commissioner Warner, if you'll give my office a call, and I'll give you a telephone number, 503-986-1406. And we have, you were talking about water quality, DEQ, and EPA. We have some proposed standards that are coming up that are going to be tenfold of what we currently have for point and non-point discharges. So rather than go on this lengthy dissertation about this, I have quite a background on that, and I'll be glad to share it with you.
Okay, thank you. I have commented, and we're well aware of what's going down on the non-point Clean Water Act. So, yes, thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, thank you. And we'll go to the person to your right, if you'd be so kind to introduce yourself.
I'm kind of new at this, Ed Hart. I'm a miner here in Baker County.
Ed, could you spell your last name, please?
Pardon?
Could you please spell your last name?
Hart.
Hart.
H-A-R-D-T.
Okay.
My profession is mining, and I'm all for, like Fred says, getting Grant County into this because it is a great mining county. And other than that, I don't have a lot more to add, except like Fred was saying about permits and stuff to mine on public domain land is just, it's a headache. We've had plans of operation that haven't been approved by Forest Service for 10 years. And with the price of gold up to over $1,400, this county, Grant County, they could be putting some money into the county. So it's absolutely senseless. So that's about all I got to say.
Okay. Thank you kindly. Any questions for Mr. Hart? Okay, and it looks like we have another person behind you.
Good morning. This is Tammy Green. I'm the Baker County Clerk.
And could you spell your last name, please?
Common Green, G-R-E-E-N.
Thank you.
I'd just like to echo Fred's comments on doing this via the television, and we really appreciate it. It's hard to get to Salem. We're in the middle of a filing deadline, so I'm sorry I was late and I missed a little bit of the beginning of this. But the reason I'm here this morning is I just would like to kind of visit a little bit about the boundaries and splitting up our counties and the difficulties we have with voters and voter registration. What I really don't want to see happening, and I know that all the county clerks in the state of Oregon feel the same way, is creating some small pockets. The problem with that is that it makes it very easily identify the voters and what how they are voting in those small little pockets. So I lived through the first redistricting in 2002. We got lucky. We were just Baker County was kept all together intact. I tried to help Kathy in Grant County with some redistricting stuff, and it was a nightmare for her to have that little portion that was cut off from the rest of the district into District 60 with us. So I've seen this before. I'll take any questions now that anyone would have.
Any questions for Ms. Green? I guess my question goes back to the Pendleton-LeGrand-Baker and what some people have previously asked on what do you feel a kinship with LeGrand or maybe with Ontario a little bit more, or are you kind of just nestled in your valley there?
We have a kinship with both. We share districts with Umatilla County. We have Blue Mountain Community College. It's a district that we share. Malheur, we share districts with. We share Huntington School District, Treasure Valley Community College. Over there, Burnt River School District with Malheur County. We also share Baker School District with Union County. So really, we're connected very much.
Okay. Thank you. Any other questions?
You're welcome.
Okay, thank you all three. I think we'll now move to Lakeview, correct? Yeah, it looks like we have a gentleman in Lakeview. If you'd be so kind to introduce yourself.
This is Lake County Commissioner Ken Kestner. That's K-E-S-T-N-E-R. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you just fine. Thank you. Go ahead.
I'm not quite up to speed as what Fred and others have been on redistricting. As far as some commonalities, mostly some timber, mostly on Collins Company property and on National Forest, what little timber is produced on the National Forest these days. It is mostly ranching and farming. And the way a House Senate District and our House District, our Senate District 28 and the House District 55, they're pretty much contiguous except for the Senate District takes in all of Klamath County, whereas the House District kind of excludes the southern half of Klamath County, which is 56. And the House District also goes over almost to Medford. And to the north, it goes all the way up to Prineville. So we have kind of a common, you know, commercial aspect with rural farming and ranching all the way from Prineville down. I'm not familiar with why the part of Jackson was included in 55, but we have no really concern because on commerce, we used to go to Klamath Falls and to Medford from the southern half of Lake County. And on the northern half of Lake County, our residence goes to Bend. So the biggest concerns we have is what I heard earlier is a lot of regulations and that really impede our economic development. One of the aspects that impedes Lake County economic is just our remoteness and the fuel costs going up. And some of the commonalities we also have with part of Crook County and Klamath County is, in addition to farming and ranching and just a rural lifestyle, is renewable energy. We have quite a bit of connection with Klamath County on similarities in geothermal and solar, and that would be the same with Crook County. So, and also Lake County and Klamath also share in southern, south central Oregon economic development. We have a very close tie with them. I don't really have any other comments right now except because I haven't seen any proposed changes in the boundaries yet. I'd like to make, whenever I see any proposed changes, I'd like to make comments then.
Sure, we appreciate that. And I suppose once we get deliberating those, that they'll be on the redistricting committee's website, and you'll be able to obviously make comment on those. I guess my first question would be, what geographic and transportation What geographic boundaries are there that unite or divide some of the Lakeview area? And I'm sorry, I'm just not familiar with that area of the state. And transportation links as well.
Well, on the geographic, it's not a lot of separation between us and Frankfield. It's all pretty much common geographic. It's sagebrush, juniper, and you get up around in the northern part of Crook County, you get into Ponderosa Pine Forest, of course, on National Forest, which we have also on the Fremont National Forest around us. But on the transportation aspect, the Highway 140 between Klamath Falls and Lakeview is the main commerce route between the two entities and also on over to Medford. A lot of our residents goes to Medford for medical use, residents from southern Lake County. On the northern part of Lake County, commercial routes is basically Highway 31 up to Lapine. Of course, that gets into Senate District 27 and into Deschutes area. commerce with Lapine is, I have to say, it's kind of minimal because most of our commerce is from northern Lake County is satisfied in Bend and Redmond. But our hospital needs, well, first off, we have a very good hospital here. We just finished a expansion on it. We passed a bond about 2 years ago. But being a critical rural hospital, we can't address all the major medical needs. So a lot of residents goes either to Bend or to Medford for our major medical needs. But geographically, we have similarity in National Forest and also in Bureau of Land Management lands between Crook County, Lake County, and Klamath County.
Okay. Senator Starr.
Thank you. Just to follow up on that, you've talked about your connections to Medford through Klamath Falls. You've talked about your connections maybe up Highway 97 into Central Oregon. The question I have is I'd like to know which one is stronger for the residents in Lakeview. Is it stronger connection heading west, or is it stronger connection heading north?
Okay, Lake County is over 8,000 square miles, and we have two major population centers. One is Lakeview, the county seat. The other is the Christmas Valley area in the northern. And our population is almost getting close to being 50% in the northern and 50% in the southern. We have two economic hubs. The northern half of Lake County goes Highway 31 over to Lapine to 97th, then to Bend. Almost, I would say, close to 90% or greater of their commerce goes to Bend on Highway 31 to 97 to Bend. And the southern half, probably close to 90% goes to Klamath Falls and then on over to Medford. So it's almost an equal split in northern half of Lake County and southern half of Lake County.
Thank you.
Any other questions for Mr. Kestner? Thank you, Mr. Kestner. We appreciate it. And then moving to...
Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
Thank you. And moving to Pendleton, Ms. Tarvin, are there anybody else there that we can't see?
Aaron, no question.
Okay, thank you. Let's move to back here to LeGrand, and we have two additional names here. Joel Hassey, if you'd like to come up, and Rosemary Powers, please. And Mr. Hassey, if you'd state your name for the record and go first.
These both work. Fine.
Yeah. Yes.
My name's Joel Hassey, and I'm a lifelong resident, third-generation resident here in Union County and in LeGrand. I appreciate you folks doing this, and I just kind of want to reiterate what I've heard today and the fact that that I think we in Eastern Oregon sometimes feel like that most of everything that happens over here gets shoved down our throat by what happens in the Willamette Valley and in the population centers over there. And I would hope that you can kind of keep that in mind and help us to keep our say and our ability to voice our concerns and opinions in the legislative process that goes on. You know, we look back and we deal with cougar, the wolves, all the issues over here that kind of come to us via what happens in Salem, and we would probably be going a different direction if our voice were heard. We often feel like it doesn't get heard. I think over here our schools, I hear Dan and some of the other people talk, the centers of all of these little rural communities are their schools. That's their pride, that's their kids, that's where everything comes from. And when you look and you go out and you talk to people, where am I from? Well, I'm from Imbler. That's their school. I'm a Panther. I'm from LeGrand. I'm a Tiger. I'm from Baker. I'm a Bulldog. And I heard Mr. Hively kind of laugh about Baker and Pendleton. And we came from the generation when they were both our arch rivals and pretty much hated, even though that's only in an athletic sense. But tell me, I'll trust me, it's very much there.
I still haven't gotten over a football game I remember.
Yeah, you and me both. We've kind of sensed Pendleton has moved or stayed in the league, and LeGrand has dropped down to where we still play Baker and Ontario and Milton Freewater. And those rivalries exist, and they're friendly rivalries at times. They're more than that at times. But yet, when you get down to it, they are what bind us together and do make us a lot alike in the fact that we are somewhat the same size and the things that we do are the same. I've worked for Boise Cascade, and I would like to say the largest employer in Union County. I'm not sure that's true anymore. I'm not sure that the state of Oregon isn't the largest employer in Union County anymore, and that's kind of a sad state of affairs to say that also. But we talk about I-84. We go a long ways for logs these days. A good pile of our logs are coming out of Idaho and all the way up in the McCall area, coming down and all the way across Oregon into our facility in Pilot Rock, or into the two facilities in Elgin, and then the residuals of those get used at the particle board plant that Dan works at. So that freeway is extremely important to everything we do, and then we turn around and put it on trucks and send it out all over the nation, literally. Our particle board goes clear to the west or east coast, Chicago, all over. Our plywood, we produce a plywood that's used basically all the way across the northern part of the United States. But when there's hurricanes in the south, the price of plywood goes up and it goes everywhere. So all of those are important to us. But we are very proud and try to maintain what we are over here. And I know that we are somewhat different because of the fact that we love our rural area and we love our rural space. And I would just hope that you can do what you can to maintain that, because the one thing that makes Oregon strong is our diversity and our willingness to see that diversity move through. And I think as we go forward, we're losing some of that. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Hassey. We've heard about school boundaries. We've heard economic communities, logging, timber, agriculture. Are there any other communities of interest that might not have been discussed in these hearings today?
I can't think of much. I actually chair the Planning Commission here in Union County. I've been on it for 20-some years, and I get to see the diversity in it. And it's interesting because we talk about the county boundaries, but I would venture to bet if you ask 80% of the residents of LeGrand if North Powder was in Union County, they'd say, no, it's in Baker County, and they're wrong. It's in Union County. It's because the mountain pass over Ladd Canyon tends to divide the county for some reason, but the boundary goes on further over. So those are some things that happen without people even knowing it. And I have to be 100% honest. I could no more tell you where the boundary is for District 59, District 57. It seems like every time I figure it out, we change it, which unfortunately due to our population on the decrease. To be honest with you, I can't even tell you which two I'm a member of for Senate District and Representative, and that's really sad, but I do vote.
Well, thank you. Any other questions for Mr. Hasse?
One question.
Senator Bonamici?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Mr. Hasse, for your testimony. And I really appreciate what you said about the community and the schools and the pride in your students. Can you think of any examples now where school districts are split in different legislative districts? Or is your point more to keep them together?
I think it's important to keep them together, I don't, because there again, I'm and I apologize, I didn't get a chance. I kind of got this shoved on me at the last minute. They asked me at work to come up and see what was going on, and so I have to say that I didn't sit down and study it real well this morning, and I wished I would have. But and I guess I hear that John Day is it's split in half, and I see a real camaraderie with John Day being in the industry I'm in, and watching my kids when they just have recently graduated school. John Day is a lot, ethnicity and just diversity in that. I think we have a lot in common with John Day. They still have a mill somewhat, and they still have, there's a lot of agriculture down there. The one thing that LeGrand has and is unique is the fact that we do have the university here, and it provides a huge amount of opportunity for people. But
thank you.
Representative Escobar.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. You'd mentioned about the population, because I thought LeGrand was about 16,000 people. Is it?
I think it's closer to 12 than maybe 13.
13,
I think
0,
it was about
85. Okay. we just went up over 13,000 this year.
Thank you.
Thank you. All right. Any other questions? Ms. Powers.
Good morning. My name is Rosemary Powers. I'm a professor here at Eastern Oregon University, and I'm a faculty representative on the State Board of Higher Education. So I come this morning just to make a couple of small comments. I travel to Portland almost twice a month, and I know in your traveling over here, you know how far that is, and the road does go both ways, but it's not often really, I think, appreciated quite as much as we in Eastern Oregon understand the distances that we must travel to make our points. In the State Board of Higher Education, we have taken a strong position that geographic distances should not eliminate people's opportunities for higher education. So we're working hard to make sure that all parts of the state have higher education potential for students. In the last couple of years, we conducted some focus groups around the rural areas of the state to understand what the educational needs were. And so I come today just with a couple of points. One of them about, in terms of communities of interest, is thinking about redistricting toward the west, that we don't have as much community of interest with the Bend area, as you all understand, because of the much greater focus on the tourism aspects of life there. And so as we think about our areas of farming and ranching, it's really important, I think, to us to make sure that however the boundaries get drawn, that those kinds of different economic foci are taken into strong account. Bend is, the area is growing, and so they certainly deserve more representation, but as we try to find ways to move the boundaries for us, moving us into that area will, I think, dilute our voice in a way that would not be in our best interests. The other thing to say is I know there was no one representing Pendleton's position, but just understanding the community, the commonalities of interest of Pendleton and Hermiston as sort of mid-sized cities within a rural area, I would hope that whatever you do would also maintain that strong voice so that they would be able to bring to the legislature the concerns that that sort of economic and geographic and population arrangement bring, which is unique in the state. So I think that's all I wanted to say.
Thank you very much for being here today. Any questions for Ms. Powers?
Question. Thank you, Professor Powers. Thank you for being here today, and also again to the university for hosting us. When you talked about, I understand the differences between Bend with the focus on tourism, and I know Senator Telfer knows a lot about that area, making sure that we keep together those commonalities of this area in agriculture and farming. So if this area needs to pick up population, there we're sort of limited in our choices because of where the population growth has been. So do you think it makes more sense for us to go a lot up north or over to Central Oregon? If we need to find population and the only growth has been either in Central Oregon or up in the almost east Multnomah County and out there that area, that's where the population growth has been. So where are the commonalities?
Well, I think as you look toward Central Oregon, I think you may have to do that, but I'm just drawing your attention to being sensitive which communities there tend to fit more into where the growth in the Bend area is, so that there certainly could be rural communities from west of here that would share more in common with us than as we get closer to Bend. I know just the sort of comical thing that's sometimes said from people in Portland who don't know, who haven't driven around the state much, who want to know if we should meet in Bend as a sort of halfway place. And so, of course, that doesn't compute. It's closer to Portland than to Bend from here. So that would be my recommendation. I don't have the economic background to be able to be specific about that, but more keeping types of communities and types of rural industry or rural work together would be, I think, the priority.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. Any other questions for Professor Powers?
Thank you for your attention.
Thank you very much. Is there anybody else here that has arrived in LeGrand that wants to testify that has not signed up on the sheet? And we'll turn to Lakeview. Anybody else in Lakeview? And how about...
Nobody else is here with me at this time.
Thank you. How about Pendleton? Pendleton.
Right here.
Okay. Thank you for holding down the fort there in Pendleton. And then how about Baker? Anybody else that has shown up?
Okay. No, nobody else is here.
Okay. Well, I'd like to just express our sincere thanks for coming and participating today. Your input is incredibly valuable, and we thank you kindly. We'll go ahead and close this public hearing on legislative and congressional redistricting in the House Committee and give it to Senator Bonamici.
And we'll close the Senate Committee on redistricting for today, March 18th, 2011.
Okay. Thank you all.